is God. God is worthy to be praised. Oh, praise God. Praise God. God is worthy to be praised. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is worthy to be praised. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is worthy to be praised. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is worthy to be praised. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is worthy to be praised. Oh, God is worthy to be praised. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God is worthy to be praised. Oh, hallelujah. God is worthy to be praised. God has everything, and everything belongs to Him. God has everything, everything belongs to Him. Praise God. Praise God. God is worthy to be praised. Oh, praise God. God is worthy to be praised. Oh, praise God. Praise God, yes. God is worthy to be praised.
Let us note for our Old Testament scripture, Psalms 23. David writes, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Amen.
We're reading out of the book of John today. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me." You know, death for a long time, since the fall of mankind, Adam and Eve, put a terrible sting on humanity when the devil lied and he told Adam and Eve, if you eat of the tree, you're not going to die. And for a long time, death has been a difficult thing for us to deal with. But we know Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life, and though a man were dead and he believes in me, he's going to live again." Do you believe this? So today, as we celebrate, it's difficult to deal with death. It stings, Brother Tim and Brother Jamie and Sister Lisa and Sister Mika. But we know there's hope because Christ came and he, when death got a hold of him, he got a hold of death. When the grave tried to swallow him up, he kicked the door off of the grave and off of hell itself. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. And as believers, we know that this is not the end of the story. This is just the beginning. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and mercy. We thank you for your many blessings, O God. God, truly, you're good to your people. And today, as we feel the pain of, and the sting of death, we know that you are the resurrection and life. And we know that, God, you overcame death. You overcame hell. You overcame the grave. As a matter of fact, God, you took our place in death. You took the sting of death. And you overcame the grave and you overcame hell. And on the third day, you rose from the dead. And, God, we know that today we don't look at death shamefully or understand that there's more to this than just this moment. We know there's hope on the other side of the grave because of what you did at the cross. And you poured out your blood on that cross to save us from our sins. And we're thankful today, God, that you know the end of the story. And I want you to today bless Brother Tim and Sister Mika and Sister Lisa, Lord God, and Jamie, and all the family members that are here today. Bless them, O God, and strengthen them and comfort them, Almighty God. And we just ask you to bless this service and let it bring glory to your name, glory to the cross, and all that it means to us today. In Jesus' name, we give you thanks and praise. Amen.
My life,
sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day. But still the hope that lies within is reassured as I keep my eyes upon the distant shore. I know he'll lead me safely to that blessed place he has prepared. But if the storm don't cease, and if the wind keeps on blowing, my soul has been in the Lord. Though the storm keep on raging in my life, y'all, sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day. But still the hope that lies within is reassured as I keep my eyes upon the distant shore. I know he'll lead me safely to that blessed place he has prepared. Oh, but if the storm don't cease, and just in case the wind keep on blowing in my life, my soul, my soul. Sometimes in this life there's gonna be tossed by the waves and the currents that seem so fierce. But in the Word of God, I've got an anchor that keeps me steadfast, unmovable, despite the tide. But if the storm don't cease, and just in case the wind keep on blowing in my life, my soul's been anchored in the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord. The billows may roll, the breakers may dash, I will not sway because they hold me fast. So dark and anchored, clouds in the sky, I know it's all right, 'cause Jesus is in mine and my soul. My soul, my
Lord, my soul been anchored. My soul been anchored. My soul been anchored. My soul, soul been anchored. My soul been anchored. My soul has been anchored in the Lord. Come on, somebody praise Him. Somebody praise Him. Oh, yeah. Somebody take out a little time to praise the Lord today. Is defeated. Even in a situation like this, the enemy has no power. Hallelujah. Death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. We win. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I rebuke Satan today. I rebuke sadness. There is a place of mourning. It has a place. But I bind depression, and I bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. And I loose liberty. I loose a spirit of celebration in this place today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Come on, somebody give Him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. Of the Word of God is in everything. Give thanks in sickness. Give Him thanks in sorrow. Give Him thanks. Come on, the Bible says that they can praise Him in their sickbed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Now.
Hallelujah. Bible says that in Job chapter 1, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven. And hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose before he had time to bury his servants. Before he had time to put his children in the ground. The Bible tells us that Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. And the Bible said he worshiped. Before he had time to do anything else with his sorrow. Before the adversary had time to move in and steal his victory. He worshiped God. I've come to tell somebody today, you came to an apostolic church and this is an apostolic funeral. And above everything else, what we came to do is we came to celebrate. The Bible says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy is promised to come in the morning time. I've come to tell somebody you could go ahead and praise God at a funeral. I've come to tell somebody that death is swallowed up in victory. Come on. Oh, death, where is your sting? And oh, grave, where is your victory? He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in everything that Job did, he didn't sin before God. And I'll tell you this, I think the primary reason that Job didn't sin before God in the analysis is because he said, before anything else, I'm a worshiper. Before anything else, I've come to tell God, God, you gave her to us. God, you gave her to us. We received her as a gift, and we had a season of time with her. And God, we release her back into your hands. We're not releasing her to death. We're not releasing her to the grave. We're releasing her into the hands of the God who makes all things beautiful in his time. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the anointing of God in this place. Hallelujah. So we've come today to celebrate the life and legacy of Sister Margaret Ann Walker. The writer of Proverbs tells us in chapter 13 and verse 22 that a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Among those who have come today to celebrate our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren who have come to pay respects to a great lady, to testify of the inheritance that she left behind. To her family and friends, Sister Margaret was open-hearted and caring and willing to do anything for anyone at any time. She was a devoted wife, mother, and grandmother, a woman of faith in a reality that transcends finite existence alone. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon outlines one of the wisest discussions in all of the Bible. To everything, chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. He tells us there's a time to be born and there's a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit, he asked the question, what profit have he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? He said, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And then he gives us this immortal promise. He hath made all things beautiful in his time. Everybody under the sound of my voice today has been given a certain allotment of time, a space in time, a location in time. All of us, every one of us. See, the bottom line is we come to memorialize our sister, but we also come to remind everybody that you don't have as much time as you might think you do. Now, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. What our sister would have me tell you today is it's time to get your life right with God. It's time to secure your salvation with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's time to develop a prayer life. It's time to live like you were dying. Somebody say amen. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the man Solomon outlines life under the sun, the horizontal life existence. He said, I planted vineyards. I married wives. I sought wisdom. I built houses. He was doing a lot of the stuff that we're doing today. He was building a life for himself, and he had a vantage point that many people in history did not have. He was a very successful and wise king, and he was very wealthy, and he didn't have a whole lot to worry about. I don't think he had any people coming to collect debts like I do, and like probably some of you have. He didn't have all of that. He had a very unique vantage point. He said, I spent my life, I spent my time like currency. I spent it on building a life for myself. I spent it on building vineyards, and I spent it on marrying wives, and wherever I could find the best of things, I purchased them and I bought them and I invested in them. And at the end of his life, he concludes his analysis of everything under the sun by saying it's all vanity and it's all vexation of spirit. And in his final analysis, he sums up man's existence in chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And then he starts to break down how man begins to separate, the body of man begins to separate from the spirit of man, the end of life. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return. This is metaphorical language. He's giving us some poetry here to understand what happens at the end of life. Nor the stars be darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, the hands begin to tremble. And the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few. And those that look out of the window be darkened, so the eyes are becoming dim. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. So his hearing is becoming diminished, and he's getting up early in the morning, and he's not getting good sleep at night. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, so they begin to fear heights, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home. And the mourners go about in the street, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto the God who gave it. Vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books there is no end, and of much study is a weariness of the flesh. And then he gives us the summation of all of his intelligence and all of his wisdom and all of his seeking and all of his searching and all of his building and all of his planting. He gives us the analysis of the wisest man probably to ever live. He said, hear, my son, the conclusion of the whole matter. Anybody want to hear the conclusion of the whole matter? Anybody want to hear it? Come on, I know in the back of your mind you've got some questions about life. Like, what's the point of it all? Why do we work? Why do we toil? At the end of the day, we ask the same question. We come to some of the same conclusions. What's the point in working? If all I do is I work, at the end of the day, I turn it over to the bill collectors and I have nothing left. He said, listen, my son, hear the conclusion of the whole matter. There's nothing better. Covey told us you got to begin with the end in mind. And there's nothing better than before you get started in life, especially if you're young here, than for somebody to tell you what the end looks like. This is a man who had everything we're searching for, everything in finite life and under the sun, and he had it. And he said, let me tell you, before you get started, my son, let me tell you something. This is the conclusion of the whole matter. Before you get to the box and before your family's mourning, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God's going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I've come to tell somebody today the conclusion. This is what our sister would have me tell you today. Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Love God and keep His commandments. The conclusion of the whole matter. The conclusion of all the stress and all of the strain and all of the work and all of the toil is to find your way into the house of God and to develop relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and to interact with Him in communion. The conclusion of the whole matter is to put your work on the side on Sunday and find your way into a church Sunday morning and worship God. In spite of your pressure, worship God. In spite of your trouble, worship God. And even when you're mourning, rise up like Job out of the ashes of defeat and mourning and say, naked came I into the world and naked I'm going to leave, but the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed, blessed, blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody praise Him right now. Come on, all across this place, why don't we give Him some worship? The reason we worship today is because every great man and woman of God in Scripture had this reassurance. There's a resurrection coming. Listen, to all the atheists and the agnostics, if there are any in the house, I doubt we have any today, but if we had any in the house, I would tell you. The resurrection is built into creation itself. As bitter cold as it is out there today, and as difficult as it was when you came out, especially the older you get, it's hard on the joints and on the bones. But when you step out in that cold and you feel the bitter pressure and the weight of wintertime, there's something in the back of your mind, in your subconscious, you're thinking, it won't be very long until springtime comes. It won't. There's something in the heart of every man. It's amazing how much faith the atheist has that if he plants a harvest in one season, the next season's going to come back around and bring forth increase. That's built into the plan of God. The idea of the red. That's why when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and he said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. And Nicodemus gets all philosophical and he says, how can I be born again? Can I enter a second time into my mother's womb? And Jesus said, are you a master in Israel and you don't understand this? It's built into the plan of God. It's built into the creation. I've come to tell somebody, we didn't come today just to mourn, but we came today with an anticipation. We came today with an expectation that a resurrection is coming. I don't care what generation you're standing in when it happens, but mark my words, even if God tarries and I'm the one in the box, there's coming a day. Job said it like this, for I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And he's talking to his friends, and he's talking in the middle of adversity. But he's saying, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh, I know the skin worms are going to come for me. That's in the back of my mind. But something looms larger than my fear of decomposition. The thing that looms larger in my mind is the idea that I have a Redeemer. And that he lives. He's not dead. God's not archaic. God's not in a tomb somewhere. On the third day, he got up. And Job was preaching from thousands of years ago the resurrection. And that's why Jesus said, how is it, Nicodemus, that you're a master? You got so much figured out in your life and you can't figure out, like a simple farmer with a third grade education, that a resurrection is coming. Job said, I know this. I know my Redeemer lives, and there's coming a day when I'm going to see him, not in a glorified spirit alone, but my body is getting up out of the grave. And at some point, the Spirit of God's going to say, skin worms, stop your decomposition. There's coming a moment when the Holy Ghost, the resurrection power of God, is going to give all of mankind a redemptive lift. And in that moment, the prophecy's going to be fulfilled. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? All of the great men and women in Scripture had this revelation, this understanding. Moses is on the mountain of God and God's about to take him up. God's about to destroy him, and he's about to lay his body to rest. And yes, the same process of the body breaking down is going to happen. But what you have to understand is you just skip ahead quite a few chapters in the Word. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, there's a man standing there and with Jesus, and he's talking to him. This is not a man dead. This is not a man despondent. This is not a man giving up on life. This is somebody who has crossed over from life into death and into another dimension. And now Jesus is doing business in the flesh. God is in the flesh doing business for mankind. And Moses appears on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he's talking to Jesus about the business of the crucifixion. I'm telling you, when you die and you are in Christ, all you do, death is not a cessation of being. Death is a portal from one dimension into the next. I've come to tell you, the body's here today, but the spirit is over on the other side doing some kind of business. I don't know what kind of business, but I can tell you this. Brother Warren, I do have an anchor. I have an anchor for the soul. The anchor for the soul is the Word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. About some things, you just got to cross over. My pastor says, you got to cross over to the winning side. You got to cross over to the side where you say, I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. What does that mean? That means I've got flesh and I'm in the world. I'm confined to time and space and matter and causality. But there's another part of my being that's not being held down by gravity. There's another part of my being that was breathed by the breath of God.
Ah, hallelujah.
I got a lot more notes. I'm gonna wrap it up here in just a minute. But I gotta tell you that the flesh doesn't understand the business of the kingdom of God. Had an old preacher that came here one time, and he talked about Jesus having a mama side and a daddy side. He talked about Jesus when Lazarus died. On his mama's side, he wept. And today we weep for the loss. But he had a daddy's side. On his mama's side, when things got rough, he was afraid. But on his daddy's side, he looked at that tomb and he said, roll away the stone. On his daddy's side, he looked at death and he said, Lazarus, come forth. You got to get to a place in your life where you are so rooted and grounded in the Word of God that you can walk down to the grave and you can say, there's going to be a getting up morning. I know it beyond the shadow of a doubt. Paul addressed this. And when you see it from a biblical perspective, it shifts the whole discussion. See, we have to let the Word of God define the culture, not the culture define the Word of God. You need a personal culture that's wrapped up in the word of God. Our culture says when you go to a funeral, you're not supposed to shout. Our culture says when you go to a funeral, the preacher's not supposed to get loud. I've taken classes on preaching funerals, and this is not what they told me to do. But when you get rooted and grounded and established in the Word of God, you tell your culture, sit on the side for a minute while I have church, because my God is bigger than my culture. My God is bigger than my fear. Paul told the church at Thessalonica in chapter 4 and verse 13, I would not have you be ignorant. That sounds like somebody, a preacher having church. Somebody say, hey, listen, don't be ignorant. I wouldn't have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They're going to get the first inheritance. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I've come today to comfort you with the reality that it doesn't matter what happens in life. It doesn't matter what happens in the box or in the grave. He got up, so we're getting up. I've come to encourage somebody with the understanding that there's coming a resurrection day for the dead. Even Paul, in his own eulogy, he wrote his own eulogy. He had a really unique perspective. 2 Timothy 4:7, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. This is somebody going to the door of death and not afraid. You know, we don't like to talk about it, but Paul was like, look. He said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I've already settled it in my mind. I've already got it fixed in my brain. I'm living every day with the end in mind. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. What is he doing? He is listing. He is remunerating the promises of God. He is listing the covenantal expectations of God. And he's saying, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've run my race. I've kept the faith. I didn't deter. I didn't stray. I established myself on the word of God. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, there is right and wrong. That's what he's saying. He's saying there's right and wrong, and I lived right, and God is righteous. And because he's the righteous judge, I'm going to stand before him, and I'm going to be judged based on what I did. He is enumerating the promises and the expectations of covenant with God. He's going to give me on that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Does anybody love the appearing of God? Can anybody think about it in your mind? Think about the return of God. Think about him descending from heaven. Think about the resurrection of the church. Can you get excited about that today? Hallelujah. Jesus told Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I'm done. I just came today to tell you about how good God is. And I came today to celebrate the life of a sweet lady. And I came today to encourage the family. God is on the throne. The word of God is established forever in the heavens. Not one jot or tittle is going to pass away. Heaven and earth, everything you see is going to be consumed. It's going to be wrapped up like a scroll. But this is established forever and ever and ever. And when I stand before him, there are going to be two books open. The Lamb's Book of Life and the Word of God. One of the greatest miracles, not the dead being resurrected, not the lame leaping, not the dumb speaking. One of the greatest miracles, probably the greatest miracle that the church has in this generation, is the word of God. Listen, I've come to comfort you with the fact, if you need to go out today, if you don't have one, and buy you a Bible. If you don't have one, listen, if you don't have one and you've got a smartphone, you need to delete ESPN and you need to download the Bible. Because when you stand in judgment, the book that's going to be open that we're all going to be judged from is the word of God. Thy word, O God, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Let's all stand. Mighty God in heaven, we love you. We seek your face today, oh God. We desire you in the inward parts and in the hidden parts, oh God. Nothing is hidden from you. So we've come today to lay our soul bare, oh God. Search us. You know our down sitting. You know our uprising, oh God. I pray that the life of this sister would ignite hope, would ignite purpose, would ignite destiny in this place, oh God. I pray that the seed of the word of God that has been planted today would be watered by your spirit, God. I pray that it would find good ground in a heart, in a life, in a mind, in a spirit. I pray that it would begin to germinate over the coming days and weeks and months, God. And that life would spring forth out of death. I ask all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Be our comforter, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.